My youngest daughter is now in JC1, and you know, just recently she came back with a test where she scored zero. And so she asked her mommy, you know, before showing the results to her mom, she asked the mom and says, "What happens if I fail JC1? And my mom, my wife, you know, would assure her, says, "Well, as long as you've tried your best, it's okay." Welcome again to the WADT podcast. Today with me is my co-host Hafiz, Kevin and Shufen. And today we're going to be talking about something that nearly every parent, if not all parents with school-going kids will experience, and that is exam stress. All right, exam happens twice a year, but MOE seems to be, you know, cutting back on exams. Well, to some parents that's good news, but maybe to some they feel that the exams are still necessary. But never mind, let's talk about exams first and what causes stress in the exams. All right, let's start with Kevin. Kevin, you have school-going kids. Are your kids stressed when exam comes around?
No, not at all, actually.
All right, let's move on to Shufen then.
Yes.
No, just kidding. Just kidding.
End of story.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, I guess Fanny and I, not that we're lazy parents, but we manage our kids differently, so to speak, and that we pitch it at their level of not say at their level of comfort, but we don't want to pressure them unnecessarily, but we just make sure that they're responsible to do their homework, and that they pay attention in class, kind of thing. Then exam times, we just remind them to revise and to set, guide them to set a study plan, so to speak, to prepare for the exams. But we also recognize that there's only so much we can push them because it's their exam. So I tell them the exam results will be tagged to your report book. It will not be tagged to mine. So I can push you. By the end of the day, the results is yours. You know, it's yours to celebrate, but it also carries you for life. So I actually took out my primary school report book and I showed it to my kids. Now, see, look at my results. Yeah.
Was it good?
It was. And then it started, and then because of my ill discipline, I will admit, you can see the trajectory of started to land. You know, the trajectory was landing and not taking off. Yeah. And I told them, so if you continue this way, you end up like me, that kind of thing. So I show them from life example, what it'd be like if you don't put in the hard work.
So basically, you were helping your child, you and your wife were helping your children become self-driven rather than externally motivated through your threats or punishment and even rewards.
Yeah, but I would admit, I wasn't like that all the time. There was a period of time where I was like, hey, you know, go do your work, make sure you revise, make sure you do the assessment books and things like that. But I also learned this term from my girls' school, that the teachers say we help our girls to develop to be independent learners. I thought that's a good term, you know, that they take their own ownership to their work, right? They take pride in their work. And if they need help, yeah, we'll get help, right? But don't tell me, oh, I do not do, then just give up, the kind of thing, you know? So we want to cultivate that, the sense of responsibility, ownership to their studies, yeah.
So teaching them to take responsibility of their education is not about leaving them alone, but being with them or behind them so that whenever they need help, they know who to turn to, that they can turn to both their mom and dad, and the mom and dad will find resources that they, you know, they will need. Wow, well done. How about you, Shufen?
My children are rather new to this whole concept of exams, because during COVID, they scrapped the exams last year, at the end of the year. And so my eldest, who is P4 this year, his upcoming mid-years would be the first exam that he's taking. So while while there's been news of like MOE trying to get rid of exams, do away with the mid-year papers, I think it might not help the child in preparing for the end PSLE because they're not used to the rigor of you know what it means to sit down and like go through their papers and revise their work and be assessed, because if there is no formal assessment, they will not see that need to sit down properly, you know, and go through their work. So I think for us that's been a struggle, like just how to manage that sudden switch from completely no exams or exams being taken away to suddenly having to revise for works. And so what I've actually done this year is to get past year exam papers. And I tell them, and so my daughter, who is primary three, she also has some. And when I was marking it, she said, "Oh, mommy, why didn't you write the score for it? I said, "I didn't write the score because that's not what I'm looking at. These practice papers are meant to be practice for you to know what you don't know. You know, it's for you to know that, oh, you know, let's say in math, like area and perimeter, that's a big topic. And so after doing practice papers, you realize, oh, okay, this topic, I can't remember, like, how do I calculate length? How do I calculate area? And I said, you know, at least after doing practice papers, you know what are the topics that you need more help in. I'm not concerned about the final end result. I'm concerned about, you know, what you don't know, because then we can help you with what you don't know. If those that you know and it's familiar to you and you've grasped the concept, great, excellent, you know, keep it up. So it's very interesting also, like between my children, like how both my eldest boy and my eldest girl look at exams very differently. So my eldest son will be the one like, why was I to practice paper? You know, like why got exam? I want to play, you know, like his whole life is not to play, you know, he doesn't want to bother about the exams. And so on the flip side, you know, these are the kind of children who will make the parents worry, like, oh, you know, you're not studying hard enough and like you're not getting things, you're not getting on top of things. And then for some of the other parents who have children who are super diligent and who are super cautious and super conscientious, then I also fear like, you know, okay, I don't need you to be a perfectionist. Like, you know, I don't need you to chase that A star grade because I feel that, you know, that can lead to a lot more stress in the future as well. So, you know, my two eldest ones, they are such different paths, that their attitudes towards the schoolwork is so different that I find it really amusing sometimes. But yeah, I mean, it's been interesting journey for us, just learning how to cope with exams and assessments and stuff like that in the house. Yeah.
Yeah, for some children, you have to remind them, right? Go do your revision, yeah. Go study, you know? And for some children, you have to remind them to take a break.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so now I was going to say that it's also interesting because my husband and I have rather different, we had different academic and education careers. So I am the kind who, you know, just barely scrape through every PSLE la, scrape through O-levels la, scrape through poly la, scrape through uni la. Whereas he did a lot better in school, you know, so he's like an academic high flyer, like scholar and stuff like that. So even because of that, like our parenting styles when it comes to the children's education is very different, you know. So I think that's why also parents need to be able to talk through expectations, like what Kevin said just now, you know, why was he getting so worked up with the children not doing their work, and us realizing that we cannot put our expectations on the children because we cannot expect them to fill our shoes or whatever that we had lost. But for them to just to help them see what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are and coach them and guide them. So I think that's been life in our household.
Okay. How about you, Hafiz? Your kids are, you know, pretty grown up, but so you've gone through a long journey of, you know, supervising them and guiding them through their educational journey. What was it like?
Well, I can admit that the supervising, guiding is not by me, it's by the mother. I'm the kind that do not want to overstress the kids because I know what is it to be stressed, negative stress especially. But when, for example, they are too laid back, you know, we have to give reminders. So I think sometimes we forget that children have their own things going, especially when they are teenagers. Things are more important than exams for them. There are things more important. I think in our environment, right, in Singapore, we are very much exam-oriented. But I think we sometimes forget what's the purpose of exam. You know, so I always try to, you know, make sure that we are always have the right perspective. I think that our children have enough reminders of important exams. So what do we do, right? So for us, usually we just create an environment, okay, which is comfortable for them. For example, you know, we don't schedule important events or, you know, near the exam period. We try to schedule a timing and make sure that we remind each other when it comes to work, when it comes to our other commitment, we make sure that we free our times. Then second, as you mentioned, I have different children and now there's a teenager. So for me, whenever she is stressed, I know because she has eczema. So the eczema flare up, I know that she's stressed. But sometimes it's not because of exam, because of other things, right? So you have to be aware, just be aware what's happening with them. So I'm more concerned with their emotional well-being because I think there is a lot to lose, you know, even if a person or a child or children are doing very well, but they are, you know, emotionally drained, and that can have an effect over the long term. Yeah.
I'm sure we all agree exams are necessary because it's a way of assessing, right? And I think some years back, MOE kind of changed the wordings to continual assessment. So you have the semester assessment, SA, and then you have, you know, the term assessments. So I think assessment sounds a little bit less pressurizing or less scary, but, you know, but nevertheless, it's still seen as exams. So exams is important. It is stressful. I think there's no way around it. But I think we can, I mean, parents can do things so that the stress does not become overwhelming. What are some of those things do you think parents can do? What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, well, I wanted to kind of like combine what Hafiz and Shufa were saying, because I think that the attitude towards the exams or these assessments is very important. I remember what my professor in university, he comforted us or kind of reassured us about this whole exam thing. He said, take the exams as a celebration of what you've learned over the semester. You know, so a bit like Harvey saying the attitude towards this thing, right? And then Shufen, when she marked her daughter's assessment, I'm not looking at the results. I'm looking at what you learned, right? And then it's supposed to review what actually you didn't know. And the assessment can actually show you, I didn't know this, then, oh, then now I know. And more often than not, we learn from the mistakes. You know, then we did something wrong. Oh, then when we remember again, yeah, it was the mistakes that we remember more actually, right? So I thought the attitude towards these exams is important. It's a good start for parents to actually set the tone for the kids, you know, and not aiming for the grade, but to set the right attitude towards it. And I'll just jotting down some notes that the attitude is important, the attitude of a learner, I guess, you know, coming with a task that we have to do or exams that we have to prepare for is the attitude that I'm here to learn the knowledge. And I tell my kids, you know, that when you go to school, attain the knowledge. So my girls and my kids are asking, why are we learning this in school? What does it do with life? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But I told them some people will be interested in it, some people will not. So at this level, they are just giving you everything first in general, in a very primary level, basic level. Then whatever interests you, then as you grow up, you pursue lah, you know, kind of thing. But for now, at your young age, they just give you everything. So they're like, ah, yeah, but okay. They kind of accept the explanation, lah, you know. So I always remind my kids about the attitude towards the studies. But my kids, when they do poorly or well for their spelling, you know, I don't scold them for poor results, but I ask them, do you practice? If you didn't practice, then this is the result, lah, you know. So I need to tell them that you need to put in the work, and then you get the results. And sometimes they do put in the work. I know my girl, she actually practiced for things that she's not very good at that, but she really put in the work. But then she told me that the things that she mind blank, you know, then she also disappointed, she actually put her head down. So even the words that she knew she didn't write, then she did very, very badly for that things here. And I had to encourage her and coax her and everything to get her up, you know. It's like, you know, I'm proud of you because you put in the effort to practice your things here. So this result, I know it's not a reflection of the work that you put in. So I encouraged her, and then I'm very encouraged as well. So the next thing, yeah, she kind of pushed through again, and she got full marks for it. Well, I tell you, she was so happy because she recognized that the hard work go in can yield the result. You know what I mean? So don't worry about the results. It's the hard work that you put in, you know. So I think for a start, I guess parents can set the tone, the attitude towards these exams, these assessments, and this work they get to do. Discipline, attitude, things like that.
Yeah, I totally agree that exams or even any tests is to gauge what you know at this point of time. And therefore, I think before the exam, what kids should be doing is revision. But what my observation is that what kids are doing are not revision. What they are doing is studying, you know. So that's why it takes so long, because if it's just revision, it should only be taking the fraction of the time that students are putting in, you know, to prepare for the exams. Yes, Hafiz, you wanted to say something.
Yeah. Kevin brought up, I think, many good points. And one of it is having the right attitude. And I think to have self-directed children who are self-directed in learning, it's a blessing. Okay, but I think, how do we achieve that? Okay, I mean, it's to not only give them motivational words, but talk to them, you know, what you enjoy to do. All right, have a bigger perspective. Okay, then don't talk straight away to exams or stress, I mean, or studies or what you want to do at school, you know. I think when they do what they enjoy, studying becomes something that they look forward to. And then exams, as what you have mentioned, is something that is just one of the things that you have to go through. Okay, so if that perspective, our children have that perspective, I think it will make a difference. We don't have to be the parent who are always reminding over and over again. And that can lead to stress, not only to our children, but to ourselves. And I think stress is contagious. We sometimes are very stressed without any rational reason, because, you know, okay, everybody is stressed, so we should be stressed for exams. You know, that particular, even for example, asking your children, hey, how did that your friend got the results? And so on, then start comparing. That will add to stress. And I think why that is stressful, because everyone have their own pace, their own goals. And if you don't have your own, you don't know your own pace and don't know your own goal, that's where the problem starts.
I know of a few friends, one friend in particular, O-levels that year, by October, because like O-level is like November period, right? By October, she's going through her third time revision of her entire syllabus. October, you know, that's how was like, yeah. I have another friend in uni, exam period, right? He's playing games. Because he said he just read through a bit, then carry, but he's playing games all the time because he said he has done all his revision. He doesn't want to stress himself. He wants to relax before he goes for exam. So, and then he scored A1, you know, everyone is like mugging, right? He's playing games because that's how he manages his stress and his work, lah. Yeah, so a different way of managing, lah.
That's what I did, you know. I mean, in my later part of my educational journey, one month before exams, I start revision. And I stopped at 8 p.m. every day, okay? And even during exams, I don't revise. I don't do anything because I just need my brain to rest, all right? Because sometimes you have two papers, sometimes even three papers in the same day. So your brain is really, really tired. Yeah, so that's what I do. My youngest daughter is now in JC1 and, you know, just recently she came back with a test where she scored 0. And so she asked her mommy, you know, before showing the results to her mom, she asked the mom and says, what happens if I fail JC1? And my mom, my wife, you know, assure her, says, well, as long as you've tried your best, it's okay. You know, if you need more time, then just do it all over again. And then she told my wife, I got 0 for this test. Then she added, but I'm not the only one. Okay, so Shufen, what's your attitude towards exams? What is the message do you want to pass on to your kids regarding exams? How do you want them to see exams?
I definitely want them to know that it's not the be-all and end-all. When we come up to life, like right now, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I did a business degree. You know, how much of that business degree am I applying right now? I'd probably say like 0.
The only thing you would maybe applicable is returns on investment.
Yeah, but there was also no guarantee. So I grew up knowing that, yeah, exams weren't the only thing in life. You know, I don't want to be chasing a paper grade. My parents didn't put that stress on me when it came to exams. And I recall, like, even during before PSLE, like just the day before PSLE, I was still staying back in school late, you know, like hanging out with my friends, playing soccer in the school field. And I want my children to realize that, you know, exams are just not the only way in life that you'll be assessed. And it doesn't determine who you are. It doesn't determine your identity. It doesn't determine what you're good at or what you're not. Because I always tell them there are so many other things that are more important in life than just getting an A or B or C or D or E on paper. Values like, you know, how you can be kind to your friends, how you can encourage them, how you can help one another when you are in need. And so much more. I told them that, you know, life, I recall at the beginning of this year, I wrote my son a card, my eldest one, and I told him that, you know, this will also be the first year that you take exams. In that card, I told him that, you know, I don't want him to be worried about his exams or how he would fare, because it's not something that will change the way mommy and daddy look at him, that no matter what he gets, he's still always going to be our son. But I told him that what I want from him is his best. I want his best effort. And if your best effort is a 40, great. If your best effort is a 99, great. If your best effort is 100, great. Then just whatever you do, just make sure you put your best effort in. And that's all I want. And so I mean, like we talked about last time, you know, playing as well, getting children to eat and sleep and move and all these kind of things. Like one of the mottos that I hold to my children, I say, you work hard and you play hard. Because I think you have to strike that balance there. You can't just be studying all the time. Neither can you be playing all the time. So you really have to learn how to strike a balance, and it will carry all the way up to life, like young adulthood. How young adults get so sucked up in their careers that they don't know how, where to draw the line. They don't know how to find a good balance. From young, I want them to see that it's important to strike that balance, to have time for work, have time for play, everything else in between.
Hafiz?
Yeah, I think what Shufen and even Kevin has mentioned is to have a balance and have perspective. And I think we've heard of cases where, you know, children, and they may be geniuses even, who are hothoused, and then turn out to be really wayward, and just to get back at their parents for hothousing them. So that's another extreme. I don't think it happens to many, but we can drift towards that. And the other extreme is don't care. You know? Parents really care less about their children, don't ask about what's happening in school, what homework they have, or even when is the exams. Okay, I mean, a very laissez-faire attitude. I don't think we are advocating that. So I think we have to understand the children's level, the children's learning style, the children's own, what they want to achieve for that particular year, for that particular semester, or even for the rest of their, for example, major examinations like O-levels, PSLE, or even beyond. So I think, and don't wait to the last minute. And I think this is always something that we live to the end and trying to achieve more than what we can achieve, and then the stress comes. You know, if let's say you can pace from the beginning, right, and have a goal, although it's going to be quite challenging if you have a lot of distractions. So, you know, make sure that you plan and have less distractions, be it as a parent for your children or as, you know, students who are taking exams. Yeah.
I echo what Shufen was saying about reminding the kids that the results and the grade is not, it's all and all. The grades don't make who you are. And it, just this week, you know, that where recently the news came out about those law students, right? They cheated in their bar exam, right? So for they were so, I don't know what resulted for them to do that, to get the grade or things like that. But it compromised, in order to get that grade, they compromised their character. And so we always emphasize character over credentials, so to speak, like, in that sense, or grades. Like, that we don't want you to end up cheating in an exam to get your grades. I'd rather you fail then you cheat, so to speak. So we always emphasize character over the grades lah. But I think one thing that leads to stress, and maybe perhaps us parents as well, that we put that pressure on our kids, is because we have a fear of failure, perhaps. That we are afraid that if we fail, then because we don't want to fail, or we are afraid that we'll fail, then we try to do everything that we can to prevent that experience of failure. But perhaps failure might be a good teacher for our kids as well, for them to experience failure now when they're young, and when in some sense can still afford to fail in this way, in this safe context, so to speak. I mean, like Hafiz, if your girl needs one more year, then so be it, you know. If they need one more year for to get the O-levels instead of 4 years, take 5 years, you know. If they need longer time, so be it. But, you know, it's not going to make, you're not going to lose out that much, so to speak, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah, we got to maybe perhaps educate our kids. Again, back to the learner attitude, you know, it's okay. You know, you take the exam, as long as you have put in your due effort, and then whatever you know you didn't know, yeah, that's fine. You celebrate what you know. And then you learn from your mistakes, and then you build from there. You know, maybe your strategy towards the exam preparation wasn't that great, so maybe you need to change strategy, things like that. So that's where we can learn. We're always learning how we can grow. This whole growth mindset thing that we can encourage our kids to adopt.
Yeah, Kevin, yeah. That really happened to my kids, one of them, when in the university. I think that she knows why she didn't manage to clear through that year. And to me, I told her that, you know, your mistake, right? And is to learn from your mistakes more important than to worry about extending one more year. And you know what her worry is actually? It's about comparing with friends. You know, what will my friends say? I mean, she's very open to me. I mean, I feel that my friends already are getting a job. You know, I'm still studying. So I tell her that what made you think that is the mark of success? All right, I told stories of examples of people who start late bloomers. They fail. I have real, very good, successful friends who failed, you know, and delayed their graduation and do very, very well. And I think what's the secret? The secret is knowing yourself, right? What happened to you and, you know, overcoming that difficulty. And again, overcoming that feeling that knowing yourself is about then motivating yourself to do what you really love and to do well, you know, rather than just following the crowd, you know, for no reason and don't achieve. At the end of the day, you're not happy also. Yeah.
I think as much as we need to redefine what success means, we also need to redefine what failure means, right? Because for some parents, not getting A's but getting B's is a failure.
Yeah, I mean, Baxter, it really breaks my heart when through my work, my many years of working with young people, I heard very sad stories when a kid get 98 or 100, right, and the parent asks where's the 2 marks, you know? Oh my goodness, it's like already still want to go and squeeze the kid for 2 more marks.
But you know what my father said to me when I showed him my report card, you know, I have five B's. He said, if you had worked a little bit harder, you would have got 5 A's.
I mean, yeah, but okay. Yeah, so parents, please don't do that to your children, okay? You dialogue with them and really encourage them and celebrate these victories on what they've gotten, especially acknowledging their work that they put in. I mean, the other side of the story, okay, again, working with youth, I know of youth who messed up their O-levels, okay, and then they couldn't go to anywhere, and then they went to ITE, but they did so well in ITE, like the dean's list and everything, then they went to poly, things like that. I also know of someone in somewhat take the long route, but I mean, we don't even need to call it the long route. It's just their path of education now, right? ITE, then poly, and then uni, you know, all the way. Like, so he still end up in uni and then just 5 years later than his friends, but you know, doesn't matter, all right? But even if he doesn't get to uni, it's okay, right? Because they can still contribute to society meaningfully, and that, I guess, is the important thing, right? It's not about whether you have scholar or whatever, you know, but your character is down the drain kind of thing. I mean, we know of many people who are very brilliant people, but they are scoundrels to the society, you know. So I'd rather my children be simple people, but they're contributing to society. I mean, that's my take anyway.
I think one key moment for me that I remember very clearly with my firstborn when it comes to exams or assessments or anything that is to do with like academics, right? So he goes for extra Chinese classes, and for this Chinese class, what he has to do is to memorize a Chinese sentence, and he has to write it down. And for the longest time, he hated it. He still hates it to today. He struggles. He always asks me every single week, can I quit this class? Can I drop it? I say no. But I remember this one incident. He told himself, he sat down very diligently for like half an hour before the class, and he practiced writing that sentence. And on the way to the class in the car, he told me, "Mommy, I realized that if I put my heart and my mind to doing something, I can do it." And I was so proud. I said, "You know, do you hear what you are saying? Like, do you hear what you just said? Like, you know, it wasn't something from me, but I feel these are really the teachable moments and the moments when the children have that you know what, I really can do it. If I put my heart and my mind to something, as long as I spend that time, I really can accomplish it. And for my son, mother tongue Chinese is really his, he's just got a mental block. Anything to do with Chinese, he doesn't even touch the paper yet, he's really got a mental block. And so for us, it's really, really a huge struggle for him to do his Chinese. And so I tell him, I said, you know, when you play your games, right, when you come across a difficult monster to defeat or a difficult challenge, if you lose the first time, do you give up? He said, no. So I said, why not? He said, oh, because I just feel like I must win it, like, you know, I must win this challenge, win, complete this task. I said, can you apply that same attitude with your games to your Chinese? I know Chinese is difficult. I know it's really hard because mommy struggled with it in school as well. But it doesn't mean that you give up, you know. So likewise, when you play your games or when you learn how to rollerblade, when you learn how to cycle, when you learn how to play your scooter, right, you fall down how many times you scrape, graze your knees, you're bleeding all over, but you get up and you go again. I said, likewise with Chinese, it's something that you don't like, but it doesn't mean that because you don't like it, you can do without it. You can tell the principal, oh, I don't like Chinese, I'm not going to do Chinese. I said, you can't do that. Next time when you grow up, you go to work, your boss gives you a project or a teammate that you don't like working with, can you say, oh, I don't want this teammate, so I quit lah, I go. You know, I said, that's not the way that you can relate to life. That's why I said, as long as you put your heart and your mind to it, you can do it. And I think exams is also really a good way of teaching the children resilience and then perseverance. But of course, everything just with the right attitude, with the right mindset, with the right heart to teach them, to help them see that it's not so much the paper grade, but the values and the character that it helps you build up during that time of just, yeah, persevering through difficult times to say that, yeah, I can do it. I don't like it. I hate it, but I will still do it. I'll grit my teeth because that's what we need to do. Yeah.
Wow. Nice. So, Shufen, what you have mentioned and what you have done, actually, that's the purpose of education, right? I mean, it's not just in school. As parents, we can educate our children. And you say that you end up as a stay-home mom, you know? I mean, I know of people who are, you know, do very well even, you know, and then still end up a stay-home mom or do not have a career. So, I mean, they have different definition of success. In fact, what you have mentioned is success is can happen every time, all right? The fact that, for example, when your child says something like that, you know, it really is a example of how successful you are in educating your children. And that success cannot, I think, you know, defeat success in exams, because exam is just, you know, a stage. It can be just a paper, right? That doesn't mean anything really, you know. But what the process that you go through, all right, that's the one that results in the successes that you gain from the process. Yeah, thanks for, you know, sharing all those teachable moments for parents, Shufen.
Yeah, I always tell my kids, you know, that the purpose of education is not just to score A's or as high marks as you can get. I mean, if you are able to do that, then that's great. You know, we are blessed. But the purpose of education is the training of the mind, how you think, how you analyze, how you become curious and find out the answers to questions, or how you even ask questions, right? So that's the purpose of education itself. So it's not just rote learning, right? But it's learning with interest and with a purpose. And I think, Shufen, what you just described is something called growth mindset, right? And I think that's something parents need to also understand, the difference between having a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. So a fixed mindset, for example, is, you know, a child believing that, you know, my abilities and my, you know, what I can achieve is limited because of maybe my genetics, you know, disposition or my environment or maybe the family I'm born into, whatever factors. There are many possible factors. And so the child, you know, begins to believe that, you know, his achievements are limited. That's fixed mindset. Growth mindset is a child that, you know, understands that his achievement is only limited by his efforts, you know, and by his motivation and endurance or grit or perseverance and all those combined. So I think it's important for parents to do the right things to develop in their children a growth mindset, so that they know that, you know, if I get a C, that's not that's not the limit that I can achieve. If I, you know, put in a little bit more effort or learn a different way of learning, I could get a B, all right, or even an A. So I think that's also in something parents need to bear in mind. It's not just sending your kids to tuition, all right, and cramming all that pages of information from the math book, history book, literature, any book into your child's little brain and expecting him to reproduce it onto the exam paper when the time comes. I think that's missing the point of education, right? Yeah.
I really enjoyed the conversation, Paxson. You know, and I mean, talking about exam is never enjoyable, but it was enjoyable. You know, so you can make exams enjoyable, parents, right? Let's do it.
Yeah, it's possible, right, man. Let's do it, everybody. Have a good day.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.